This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend them.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right. Andrew Gundling in for Peter Rosenberg tonight on ENN. But Peter is still here.
That's right.
Along with Chris Carlin as well.
Hi.
And we start out the CNN tonight by saying hello to Peter.
1-800-636-106. That is not the phone
number. What are you doing?
What is that the number for?
WJFK in Washington.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We say hello to Chris Carlin as well.
What's his crap percentage?
That plays well, actually. That's nice.
Well, we'll kind of start with that, as a matter of fact. Big news on the Giants front today. And unfortunately, it's both bad and kind of not surprising. Daniel Jones is going to miss the remainder of the season for the Giants in the wake of his neck injury. So his season ends with him currently 24th in QB rating, 24th in completion percentage, 21st in yards per game, 25th in yards per attempt. And the drop that you heard there from Chris, the crap percentage?
That
was
referenced.
What's his crap percentage?
That was
based on that bad pass percentage.
Right, his bad throw percentage, which is a pro football reference stat. And for Jones this year, it's 18.4% of his throws. Wow. It essentially means kind of like off-target throws. You could probably figure out what it meant.
You suck percentage?
But to put it in perspective, though, that number is higher than what it was his rookie year and second year, which is not the trajectory you want. Here is Joe Judge earlier today talking about what's next for Daniel Jones.
It's rest, it's treatment, it's continue on with some of the kind of the rehab type exercise he would do for it. This is really contact based. There's nothing surgery that's even being talked about or mentioned at this point. Surgery is not an option at this point. There's nothing to lead us to believe that he would need surgery for this. This is purely a timetable deal as far as this injury. And again, the medical team has been monitoring how the neck has progressed over the last few weeks. They didn't think they saw enough progress to clear him for contact. And with the time remaining in the season, they didn't believe it was going to be the smartest move to put him out there, that they didn't think it would be fully healed within that timetable. And the best thing for him right now is to start on having a full recovery with rest and treatment.
So from a long-term perspective, that sounds like mostly good news. Doesn't need surgery. That's a good thing. But in terms of the context of this season, obviously it ends his season. And for a guy who just had the QB rankings that I just read off to you in a year that was kind of deemed to be his prove-it year, not such a good thing.
No, he didn't prove very much at all. It's unfortunate. He just doesn't have – it's like game – literally his first game was his – was his first game just his best moment here?
Probably his best moment was the Washington game that cost him the first pick.
That cost him Chase Young.
Yeah. That was probably it. Wasn't that the 5-touchdown game?
Yeah, that was the 5-touchdown overtime vehicle against a team that was playing for nothing except draft picks.
Right, but it listen.
It was a good game.
Going for 5 touchdowns in the league is something pretty special.
That's a thing, for sure.
Yeah. But there used to be a belief in this, and it doesn't seem to be there as much anymore, but we could tell whether or not a guy had it by just watching him. Mm-hmm. And at no point have I thought, that's the guy. That's the guy right there. I think that all the time about watching Justin Herbert play. All the time. Thought it all the time last year.
You think about it when you watch, we saw it with Kyler Murray. We watched Deshaun Watson and pretty much immediately thought that. It's you're watching it now with Joe Burrow. It's happening everywhere.
And Some guys do take longer. I don't take that away from him. The other thing that we cannot overlook is the fact that it is the third year in a row he's gotten hurt. And he did replace Eli, who is the most durable quarterback, one of the most durable quarterbacks we've ever seen.
That's the part that I think sort of not being talked about here, is not only does it worry you about his long-term, with regards to this injury specifically, But to Chris's point, what does it say about his long-term potential with just the injuries in general?
Yeah. I don't sit and watch him and think the injuries are the only problem here. If only he could stay healthy. I think it's a combination of all of it, but the injuries have to factor in.
Yeah. Guys, there is a Monday Night Football doubleheader going on. It's actually already underway.
Yeah, it sure is.
There's a minute to go in the second quarter. Raiders, Browns right now in Cleveland, 7-0. Oakland has the lead.
Now, Raiders are threatening, though, if you're wondering.
Oh, my God. I just called them Oakland. Jeez.
Well, wait, that's the worst thing you've done today? I mean, that's insulting to me. I've called Chris Don 18 times.
Yeah, and you've given out several incorrect phone numbers.
Yes.
Calling the Vegas Raiders Oakland in year, that's like not even a mistake.
You know what's important? So underrated? The Gundling deadpan.
It's I said that recently.
Just horse.
You did? I said
last week that per words spoken, no one has more impact on this show than Andrew.
I think that's fair.
Comedically,
he's efficient.
He's so efficient. The most efficient in the league. His deadpan just there on me giving out the wrong number multiple times was truly a piece of brilliance.
Let's see, guys. If you were watching last night's Bucs-Saints game, unfortunately, you noticed a lot of key Tampa Bay Buck players leaving the game with injuries.
Sure.
It's bad news for Chris Godwin. His season is over. It's a torn ACL for him. Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette also left the game, both with hamstring injuries. I saw Evans is listed as week to week. I have not seen the prognosis yet on Leonard Fournette. For Tom Brady, no injury, but a pretty impressive streak came to an end last night. Brady had a streak of starts without being shut out at 255 games. It was the second longest in NFL history behind. You want to try to guess who he was chasing?
Without being shut out, a quarterback without being shut out.
Consecutive starts without being shut out. Brady ended last night at 255. The longest ever is 304.
Oh, my goodness. That's so there's only so many people that could be that have played that many games.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve DeBerg.
No.
George Blanda.
I could give you a hint that would probably give it away.
Benny Agbayani.
The team that did it to Brady last night would probably take particular joy in
Drew Brees.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, sure.
Drew Brees, 304. So that streak lives on. And just like that, Aaron Rodgers is now past Tom Brady for the MVP favorite, according to Caesars. Rodgers is plus 150. So he is currently the front runner. Speaking of Rodgers, he tied Brett Favre's franchise record for passing touchdowns. So props to him.
Unbelievable. Imagine being a Packers fan. Imagine going from Favre straight to Rodgers for 20 years.
I'll tell you,
valor. But also think about the fact that with those two, they've only won two Super Bowls.
Still, I mean, that's fine. But what about the week-to-week joy they've had for 20 years?
Just good every year.
I guess that's true.
It's just damn good football every week.
Yeah. I having seen that, I wonder if this is just me, but it kind of, in some ways, gave me a reappreciation of Brett Favre. Because I just feel like I've viewed Aaron Rodgers as one of the greatest I've ever seen for a really long time now. I can't believe he's only just now catching Favre.
Yeah, that's a really fair point. I think Favre, because the way he went out was sort of weird with the Jets and Vikings and controversies and the gunslinger, the amount of interceptions. I think because of all that, we sort of don't spend enough time appreciating how good he was.
Yeah.
I
think that's fair. We think about Favre later when it wasn't as great.
He wasn't great then too.
Even with the Jets, it was not bad. They were excellent. I think they were 8-3.
Right.
And they were cruising. They had beaten the Patriots on a Thursday night in Foxborough.
Exactly.
It's a great game. They looked really, really good. And then Favre hurt his shoulder, but he refused to come out because I think he wanted that consecutive start streak to remain intact, and he just wasn't the same, and they fell apart. I think they lost. They finished 9-7, so going from 8-3 to that, it was a brutal end to the season. But yeah, and then he went to Minnesota, and he was incredible.
Right. His career is insane.
Yeah. On the MVP conversation, I was wondering if you guys think this could be a year where a non-QB wins it in having watched what Jonathan Taylor did the other night for Indianapolis. He's fourth right now, I believe, behind Rodgers, Brady, and Mahomes.
Put it this way, I would wager on him. I would wager on him right now. I would put what is the number on Jonathan Taylor right now that you see? Do you see a number?
I can get you one.
I'll pull one up while we're discussing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. Well, you look for it while we play this. A guy who we respect, he thinks that it is Taylor's to lose.
It's Jonathan Taylor. I told you guys 6 weeks ago it was Jonathan Taylor. with all due respect to Aaron Rodgers, who's having a remarkable season, here's why it's Jonathan Taylor, because that is the best rushing team in football right now.
Yep.
He is one of the best offensive players in football right now. They played a marquee game on primetime television, and the reason they won was because of Jonathan Taylor. They got another marquee game coming against a playoff contender in Arizona this week, which is going to be on primetime television.
They never even gave it to Derrick Henry.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't go for over 200 this weekend.
That was Dan Orlovsky on Get Up, by the way.
I love Dan. I love Dan. He's a great guy and a great guest. Sometimes he's hype-beasting. Listen, he's had an unbelievable year. But to the point that I think that was Ryan just made, Derrick Henry didn't get it. Jonathan Taylor may not hit 2,000 yards. The things that we've seen other running backs do, and they didn't win MVP.
So you're right. I was thinking about that, too, because Derrick Henry, his 2,000 plus yard season, 17 touchdowns, was an all-timer. But some of it isn't always about what you do. It's also about your competition. Like, if there's an obvious quarterback in a year where a running back is having a great year, it's always going to go to that quarterback. That's just how the NFL operates.
Rodgers is 30 over 4.
Yeah.
Completion percentage, 68. He's going to... And by the way, and he's on a team that I would call the Super Bowl favorite right now.
So here's what you have to consider. Remember, it's a 17-game season, so we'll see what that does to Taylor's numbers. There's a decent chance he crosses the 2,000-yard barrier.
Yep.
And in that year that you were talking about for Derrick Henry, Henry had 17 touchdowns. Taylor is already at 17, so there's a pretty good chance, I would say almost definitive, he'll cross 20 in that category as well. And then
he's
I feel like
36 catches, too.
Yeah, he does. He does that as well. He's pretty. I mean, what were Carson Wentz's stats the other night? 5 for 12. Like, Jonathan Taylor is carrying that team. And then for any of these guys, they have. I feel like you have to have kind of your signature moment, and that run that he had to seal that win on national television on Saturday night, that certainly helps. So I think he's got every bit the chance that Henry had a couple years ago, maybe even better, because that touchdown number is going to be so
high. It's a fun thing to talk about. I the question that I would ask is Jonathan Taylor's performance so obscenely good that it makes them rethink about the way they give out this award? Because that's what it would require.
Or is one of these quarterbacks having a season that is so obscenely good that we can't consider anyone else?
So I'm looking at FanDuel right now. He's actually 5th on FanDuel.
Looking at Caesars. I think he was 4th there.
On FanDuel, Brady and Rodgers are tied at plus 160. Then Mahomes at plus 850. Then Stafford is still at plus 1,000. Taylor at plus 1,200. You know what that is?
Stafford cannot be ahead of Taylor. I'm sorry.
I know. I agree. But this is where the betting has been, I guess, on this so far. Because admittedly, I was somebody that put $50 on Stafford midseason at plus 1,000. But would you bet Jonathan Taylor at plus 1,200 right now?
It's certainly a fun bet to make plus 1,200.
Or is this value?
I think I might. I would consider that.
How about we all go in this together?
All right.
All right.
We'll talk after the show.
Okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guys, time for your daily COVID update.
Oh, this is so fun.
Yeah. Day after pulling off maybe the upset of the season in the Lions win over the Cardinals, Jared Goff has gone into COVID protocol. And a few days removed from one of the best performances by a tight end this season, Travis Kelce of the Chiefs has gone into COVID protocol. Wow. He is vaccinated, though, so he could be back for Sunday's game against Pittsburgh. We'll have to wait and see on that. Chiefs, by the way, for the first time since Week 5, they're currently the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl, plus 475.
There you go.
Followed by Green Bay, who's plus 525. That would be a fun Super Bowl.
It, by the way, not only would it be fun, listen, if my team is not in it, and they probably won't be, that's the Super Bowl I'm rooting for. But if we're not going to get Tampa, New England, which I don't think we will on either count, by the way, but Green Bay, Kansas City would be the perfect championship where you get two teams who are emblematic of the era meeting in the Super Bowl at basically the last moment where they probably can. I just can't see how long Green Bay continues to stay at this level. Maybe I'm crazy, but they've both now been good for Green Bay forever, now Kansas City for what, the last 4 years? Wouldn't you say this would be our truly emblematic of the era kind of Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs will have other opportunities, it feels like. I don't know.
You think that, but we also don't know.
You're right.
Change in a heartbeat in the
NFL.
I mean,
we don't know, but...
It seemed like it had changed already 4 weeks ago.
But it didn't.
But
here they are. They're the favorite again.
Yeah, and look, for me, I agree with what Peter's saying, but I'm still not buying that it's going to happen.
On which end?
I think the Chiefs are going to go. I'm not buying the Packers 100% yet. I don't know why. There's something a little bit amiss for me, even though their defense has been so much better this year. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just an idiot.
That's on the table.
Yes. Option.
You mentioned the Patriots. The Colts beat the Patriots the other night, as you all know. Apparently, Bill Belichick was a little short with the media. In no world is that newsworthy. Gold. It's kind of just to be expected.
But apparently it is.
But it was made newsworthy today by Bill Belichick when he began his Monday press conference by apologizing for it. Here is Bill.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just start off here. Look, fellas, I apologize if, you know, it seemed like I was a little short with you after the game. Obviously, a frustrating game. Down 20-0. Didn't do anything well enough. I mean, there isn't really much to say at that point without watching the film. Clearly, we had problems in every area, so, you know, there was no simple answer, and, you know, every play could have been better, every area of coaching could have been better, every area of playing could have been better, and any of that would have helped. So, not really trying to be short, but honestly, there wasn't too much to say. I don't know that there's a whole lot more to say now, but it's not your fault. It was a frustrating game.
Wow. I'm not really trying to be short. That's all he ever is.
For his entire career.
Yeah, win or lose.
Hell has frozen over.
And I love how it was. I apologize if it seemed like I was being a little short. When he didn't even, he literally grunted at one answer and didn't even answer in another. One was,
I didn't actually see it. Was it bad even by his standards?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. For a good 2.5 minutes of what I saw, it was... Guys, there were pregnant pauses that were 9 months pregnant because guys just didn't, like, do I ask a question or not here because it's this bad? And then they took a swing, and literally one answer was about 5 seconds of dead air, and then, next question 5 seconds later.
But now, like, for however bad it was, are you still surprised that he apologized
today?
Yeah.
Stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not, you did not expect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at Bill growing as a person at 60 years old.
Hey, you always heard this about Tom Coughlin, right? That late in his career, he softened, and that had a lot to do with that run of two titles near the end there. So who knows? Maybe this is Belichick softening in some way.
Wow. Maybe, but I'm not counting on it.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I think it was probably like somebody behind the scenes even said, listen, even for you.
That was a bit much.
Yeah.
Let's see. One more here, guys. We haven't even had a chance to talk about some of the big basketball stories from over the weekend. So
what the hell have we been doing all day?
We'll do it very quickly here. Kemba Walker was brought in out of exile to score 29 points in a losing effort against the Celtics. He had 17 in the third. He did eventually foul out, but it was an impressive showing from him. Led the team in plus-minus as well. So noteworthy return for him. We'll see how long it lasts, if it does last. I don't know that it will. The Nets, meanwhile, lost to the Magic on Saturday, but they had a pretty valid excuse as 10 of their players are currently in COVID protocol, including Harden, Durant, and Kyrie Irving. Their games last night and tomorrow night have both been postponed. And then finally, one last one here for you, a bit of a PSA, actually, for tomorrow. Here on this show in the 3 o'clock hour, Buck Showalter will be on the program, and the Caster himself will be with us from 3 to 4 to talk with Buck
Holy
and to
crap.
Be on with us. This just became official, by the way. The Mets just sent out the official press release. that Buck Showalter will be their next manager, which we already knew, but it is now officially official. Buck in it says, I'd like to thank Steve and Alex Cohen, Sandy and Billy for their confidence in me to lead this team. This is a tremendous opportunity and a great responsibility to represent this organization, all Mets fans, and this city. I'm energized and eager to get started. And that will do it for ENN on this Monday night.
Wow. I applaud the effort. It was a heck of a job. Really well done. We got to talk about this situation a little bit, though, when we come back.
Which one? Kay?
Yeah.
Popping in on the show tomorrow?
Kay's coming in for an hour to
All right, all right. When we come back, that was a beautiful ENN. I was distracted at the end because I saw a New York Post headline. Again, the journalism mecca just caught me with this one. Hottest mom in the world now going on double dates with her daughter. You know?
Holy crap.
And that was followed up by this one. I'm 22 and stuck in the body of an 8-year-old. Only creeps want to date me. That's a headline.
Who's on the beat for that report? I'm curious how you...
Who's working that beat?
So when we get back, we need to talk about Michael showing up for an hour tomorrow on the show.
Interesting.
And okay. Chris, and finally, I want to talk about Tiger and Charlie Woods. Can we?
I think you can speak. Sure.
Listen?
Yeah, as far as you know.
Thank you. We'll do all of that next as we close out a big K-Show over the next half hour, plus your calls, too. 1-800-919-3776. Great job, Andrew. It's the K-Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.